Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I want to give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. I was just looking at, by the way, one of the brochures from Christian Television Network, and since the 70s, they've been faithful just to broadcast the gospel, and it's just amazing what the founder, you know, has done in such a, just keeping the light going, keeping the light shining, and also even the local stations such as WHBR on the Gulf Coast with David Mayo. We'll give a big shout out to all of our television network out there. We're just very thankful for you and encourage everyone to think about supporting local Christian television. And one way you can do that with VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is visit our sponsors. Visit our sponsors and, you know, shop with them, encourage them, and become a partner, because that's the way we help make it all happen.
That's right.
That's actually how it happens. And we're thankful for all those that are standing with us today. And become a sponsor. I mean, think about this. Of all the things that you could be doing as borders are being overpoured by the sea of humanity, as leaders are going to play golf and do fundraisers, as the church is, they're trying to minimize, hide the cross, hide statues of Jesus, pull prayer out of schools, mess marriage, all these different things. I mean, I think it's bad. I mean, I enjoy the Bass Pro Shop. I mean, I really do. And hey, if you want to become a sponsor, you know, you can. But understand this. This is where you need to put your dollar under the eyes of God. This is what the Word of God says. He says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking someone whose heart is dependent upon him. And right now, understand, 24/7 VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, we're putting it out there. We are putting it out there. Nobody is putting it out there in the context of what we're doing. And God's speaking. I mean, we're having dreams and visions, and we're actually sharing other prophetic words and dreams and visions. I mean, who's doing that? And we don't apologize for it.
Nope.
We're thankful for it. We want to know what God has to say. And we'll allow God to interpret that to you. And we even, not only that, we even make it available to you continually by going to VFNTV.com. If you saw a program or missed a program, or you want to share a program, or you want to go deeper into a program, it's all right there. It doesn't go away. It's right there on VFNTV.com. And when you go there, you'll actually see sponsors that are standing with us. Visit them. Click on those banners. Say thank you. Send them an email. Or become one today. And speaking of that, we're going to be talking about, you know, what is a spiritual, you know, spiritually speaking, what's taking place in Iraq right now? And joining me to do that, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
And you think about it, a lot of physical things are taking place, and they're always going to take place. But what spiritually is going on? Because God is a spirit, right?
That's right.
And God's after worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. And if we get caught up in our, you know, horizontal, physical, you know, white picket fences, we're going to miss the whole thing. And we might lose our fence. And but if we focus on the spiritual, God not only will may let us keep our fence, but he may help other people get, you know, white picket fences. Never want to win myself, but also we talked about this yesterday a little bit, or on our previous programs, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about this today. But the White House is pushing, according to CBN News, pushing police officers to hide the fact that they can spy technically on you and just go through your neighborhood and gather up the data, because your phone is sending out information all the time. People said, I don't want that tracking information on my phone. I'm not going to pay for that. What's actually happening? They're just going to collect. They're monetizing the concept. I mean, they're just letting you in on the story. I mean, you're already being tracked.
That's right.
Right.
And you're already being pinged, as they put it. But now they're talking about what CBN News is reporting, that the, and why is the federal government talking to our local government? This is our government, by the people and for the people, advising them not to to advise them to hide the fact, according to CBN News, that they can drive through your neighborhood and gather all the data on your phone. Realize this, God already had the data on your phone, so just live in a way, search in a way, gather in a day, in a way, and communicate in a way that's in the light, you know, and where you may have failed, just repent and say, God, you know, that's I made a mistake, forgive me, and just move on. But stop using any digital device for darkness. Just don't. That's right. Because they're just gathering all that data, and they're, you know, we don't know why the Supreme Court judge made the decision all of a sudden to call the major turnaround in a country a tax when he's not supposed to make the laws. He's actually supposed to interpret the laws. Mm-hmm. That's what the judiciary branch is, because Supreme Court Judge Roberts, when it came before him, the health care bill, which is a bill for a law for new health care, and we're all for providing health care for every individual that needs health care, but maybe not that way. And all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, he comes back just pale-faced, a little sweaty, and comes back and says, it's a tax. It's like, what? That's not your job. You don't redefine it. It goes back to, by the way, just in case, I know it's been so long since it's worked right in D.C., but if it's supposed to go back to Congress and they make the law, and they're the only ones that have the ability, to my understanding, to ask for taxes, because they're the most representative government. As a matter of fact, there's one congressperson to every how many people?
700,000.
700,000 people. But senators, there's only two for every state. So the biggest representative form of government in Washington, D.C. is your Congress. So that handful of judges who, such as Soda, what's her name? Soda?
Sotomayor.
Sotomayor, who just bought Hillary Clinton's book it wasn't Sam's, but it was the other one on the West Coast.
Oh, Costco?
Oh, Costco. It just happened to be going by, you know. I liked your book, too. You liked your book, too.
All right.
That was good. And which was, that's pretty cool. And so it's like eight, right? Eight Supreme Court judges.
Nine
Supreme Court judges. So you have one president, you have nine Supreme Court judges, and you have 100 senators, one for every state, mm-hmm. 72 times 50. And then you have, you know, one congressperson, House representative for every
700,000.
You see what I'm saying? So that's more people the people in Congress, you want them. That's why you're looking at a conservative, and I just don't like that word really, because it's a political term. You're looking at people primarily that appreciate our Constitution. They understand, they're hearing the heartbeat of America, because they represent at least one from every 700 plus thousand folks, and they want to stay in office.
That's right.
But they got there for that particular reason. So we should let everything originate in Congress like it should, and the representatives like it should. Then it goes to the Senate, and they have a chance to do whatever they want to do with it. But it shouldn't originate in the Senate. It should actually originate in the Congress. Now, the Senate can actually suggest things, but it has to go back and be approved for the origination to be in the House of Representatives, based on my understanding. But I'm saying all that to say this: the Supreme Court judge doesn't originate anything.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at it and they go, is this constitutional? Is the present thing that presented before me, that your representatives produced and labored and listened to you about and put through, is it constitutional or not? And they say, yay or nay, and then they write an opinion. Their opinion is not law. Their opinion is why they think it's not constitutional, right, why they think it's constitutional. And so, and they just said nothing about tax. Then all of a sudden, you know, I don't know what happened, but we can only imagine what happened that night. It was a long night in D.C. And no one's righteous, no, not one. You got to be ready for that. There's a movie coming out called Persecuted. I don't know the details about it. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about it soon, but it kind of sets that scenario up. That's what's going to happen. Don't believe the press. Don't believe the press. Verify everything. So when we tell you something, we're always talking about, look at the sources. We source what we're talking about to the best of our best. As much staff as we have, as much time as we have, we tirelessly let you know where we got this information from. And we do our best with fear and trembling that we're not going to tell you something, and you know, we go back and change something, we find a different, but we're trying to give you something you can trust, mm-hmm. and you can verify. I mean, it's sort of like President Reagan said,
mm-hmm.
and so, which was a Russian terminology, by the way, trust but verify actually comes from Russia, that kind of statement. And so the Supreme Court judge said it's a tax. It's like, no, that's sort of like playing football, you know, and somebody say that was a strike. Right? See, there we go. Now you got
tilt,
it.
Tilt, tilt.
I knew Pat would get that part. I was like, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's like playing football and somebody, you know, throws a pass and they miss it and somebody says, strike.
Right.
That doesn't even go together. But you know what? all of a sudden, now we merged baseball and football. Mm-hmm. When that judge, and he appears to be, you know, a good man, I have no idea why, you can imagine. And we've heard a few things, a few spirits say a few things. Mm. And we walked away going,
what was that?
How much longer shall we live? I don't know. We should live a while. Anyway. And so well, we definitely want to be on the right side of the truth, you know, with God's truth. Not we're talking about men's truth. Mm-hmm. And he comes back and says it's a tax. And so now it is a tax, and Congress has the right to tax. But Congress didn't say that. Congress wrote a bill for government-provided health care that they thought it was a constitutional right to be able to provide health care. And nobody really knew anyway, because they first said they have to pass it before they read it, so nobody took ownership of it. And a couple people read it, but now they need Affordable Health Care Act for the mental treatment of going through the, are you serious? I mean, they lost it, like catching flies now. That meant nothing. Mm. It meant nothing. And so you need to pay attention. We need to understand how it works, because the Constitution, we talk about this, that this is your Constitution. You can get a little small booklet, and that's what it said. I'm telling you what it says. And it said that he could not make law. He could make law, but he can interpret the fact, is it constitutional or not? And since we don't know what the Constitution is quite often, unless we read it, then, and it's not, look at that. I mean, we can do that. I mean, look how thin that is. That's where, I mean.
Even I can read that.
Can you cut and paste that? I mean, but come on. I mean, this is like even an index and some little stuff on the inside. I'm hopeful we'll make this available to you inside the VFNTV store where you can get your copy of these. I don't know, they're like a couple bucks or something. But understand how important this is, because your constitutional rights were violated when a Supreme Court judge said that, let's just call it a tax. It wasn't the fact that he was making a decision. It's the fact that he took the position of Congress. And Congress should have just said, nope, right. We don't change this. Then we're going to, we had the powers to be able to stop all of this. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. And the problem, this is the issue. Because we had so many things we haven't been doing right in America, we have so many things we haven't been doing right that I hate to use this terminology, because the one that used it, I didn't appreciate what he said, but it's like, you know, America's chickens are coming home to roost. Mm-hmm. We should have been, if we call ourselves a Christian nation, we should have been concerned about the health care of every individual in America.
Yeah.
We should have been concerned about the economic unbalances in America. And we should have been just as concerned about Shaniqua school or about Bobby's school. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We should have equal concern. Every school in America should be funded equally. And in the fact that if in fact that I'm coming up economically challenged because of our history, then you need to lean towards and maybe do 60-40 in the distribution of funds, because I'm a human being and I can learn and I can do business and I can be your boss one day, or maybe I can work for you. But I deserve an equal opportunity to match up for what my journey is in this country so that we can all rise together. And so these things have been unbalanced for quite some time. And we try to, we got old, Bobby schools getting these, we'll talk more about this. We'll be back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What are the religious rights of students in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we leave to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there, that if she misses, that she's going to have to make up by doing an oral in front of other classrooms.
Well, first of all, they have to accommodate your daughter's sincerely held religious beliefs and your family's, number one. Number two, this was not an activity during the school day. It sounds like it was an after-school event, an open house. That's not mandatory. That's not under the compelled attendance law. laws of the states for public education. And again, I want to emphasize that you have a, if you had a church obligation, that you had the right to go there and your daughter can't be penalized for it. So I'm going to get you in touch with our legal department here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch lately, you need to go to VFNTV.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Yes, we are going to be getting to the topics that I was speaking about earlier, and including about guarding your heart, how important it is in these difficult times and things that are happening in the world to guard your heart. But I do want to, you know, one way to do that is stop watching the beast. You know, this is when the secular media, this is what they call this particular computer. You notice if you hear a story, and then all of a sudden it's like, man, it's repeated on ABC News, it's repeated on CBS, it's repeated on CNN, it's repeated. Mm-hmm. And what they say is, once the story is ingested into the beast, and this is some quotes that I heard from some folks in media, and what they do is they run it through whatever processes they're going to run it through, and then they put it into this, you know, obviously computer system, and that's why everybody starts pulling from that. And that's why you'll hear the story told over and over again. So once it's ingested, I mean, anything you call the beast, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and then you hear the media coming out, and it's like, why do you get anxious? You get fearful, you get scared. You think, you know, you get angry, whatever it is. One way you can do that is realize media is now different. News is different. It's no longer held captive by a few folks who sell cigarettes and whatever ads they want to run to be able, it's the only reason they have news is because they can sell content in between it, that it's no longer like that anymore. And begin to pray that God would just encourage you and show you that, you know, you can get the news a different way. Mm-hmm. You can get it a different way that will not create anxiety and fear in you, but it'll bring balance. You'll face truth, but you actually can see what God would say about it. And we as Christians, we need to say, okay, that's how we need to respond to it. And all of a sudden, it's like you're not burying your head in the sand of denial. You're looking at what really is taking place that day or that week, but you're also seeing a biblical perspective by that. And by the way, it used to be that way years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, times are a-changing. So just getting back real quickly to understanding, you know, the chickens coming home to roost, that that we need to understand how government works, because it's our government. And the way that most schools are funded, it's funded off the tax dollars based on property tax. And which means is, if Bobby's school is surrounded by $100,000 homes plus up to $1 million, and in that particular district, and has district representatives, and you get representative government, then that means then there's a higher chance that that school is going to have higher funding, higher dollar base, because it's based on those properties. So you have $1 million property or $100,000 property. I mean, a percentage off that is going to be more than, for example, and I was just using a name, but just somebody in a different kind of community that has low income and that they live in or around this school here. It's the same school system. It's the same rules, same regulations and all that kind of stuff. But the funding is different. The funding is different because this school is surrounded by $60,000, $30,000, $20,000 homes. Yes, you understand. But they give a percentage off of that. If it's, you know, and it really it's got exemptions and out galore when it gets below a certain amount anyway, but just say they get a percentage off of $20,000. That's different than a percentage off $100,000. And then the school is surrounded by low income housing. Well, that is tax provided money. So there's no tax dollars going to be coming off that to the school system. And it's surrounded by businesses that may be run down and that are, don't have a thriving business. So they're not putting in. So in other words, yeah, so people say, what's all the same? Well, it's not the same. If everything surrounding my school produces a smaller percentage of tax dollar to invest in my teachers and my books and my school and all that's going on, it's not the same as Bobby's school. But if we're Americans and we are e pluribus unum, though many one, then we should be thinking about every school should be the same. Right. Every school, every kid should have the same opportunity. As Christians, we definitely should be thinking about, you know, why are the books given to Bobby's school, state of the art, whatever, and going to Shaniqua's school or Jennifer's school or, you know, Stan's school or whatever, who's in that surrounding. It's like third use underlined. The teachers are just trying to barely make it by because they're not getting the same pay. I mean, just the whole mindset of saying, well, if I have to go to that school that's surrounded by that, it's going to be more difficult for me because they don't invest in that school the way they invest in this school, and I have a greater chance. That whole environment is against that kid learning. In the eyes of God, that's not for us as Christians. I mean, we're talking about, you know, what America should do. But we as Christians shouldn't be marching in some line saying we don't care about the injustices and the imbalances. Right. And this is the difficult thing. All these things that are happening, yeah, they are unjust. Some of these things that are happening right now, like a chief judge making law and judge making law and these different things going on. But that was unjust for years in America. And we still have those inequalities. The church stands up for those inequalities. And I really believe this. I think it's time for the church to wake up and become, have a school, have two schools. One school is the evangelistic school that is reaching out to the lost, and, you know, we hope in this process of education that you're going to meet God. And the other school is ones who know God, who walk with God. And that school can make the other school a ministry, but there should be two of those types of schools. You shouldn't mix in the ones trying to find God with the ones who are in their fresh walk with God, because you'll find out, just like the university, 70% of Christians go to public universities. They leave their faith, 70%. And the ones that go to Christian universities, it's just because you go to Christian university don't mean you're a Christian or you're walking close to God. 50% leave their faith, which means they go to hell. That's what that means. Yeah. They leave God. We have these statistics for you in the VFN Torch. So I think I'm starting to see that potentially begin to pray about, you know what? We need to start two schools. One school needs to be evangelistic, which we can teach everybody, you know, teach Shaniqua or Stan or the surrounded and unequal circumstances and just poor finances and attention into them, and if they're not saved, they're Christians, get them into this other particular school, and they can make that school their ministry. And this particular school it's serious. This is a serious school. We walk with Jesus here. This is what we do. Somebody says, well, this sounds a lot like Teen Challenge. You're a teen, and this is a challenge. And this is school. We don't apologize for Jesus. We don't apologize for the Word.
That's right.
You know, we teach Christianity. We teach, you know, biblical perspective of the world, and you just go, well, I don't know. It's like, you're in the evangelistic school. You know, that's cool. We got a school right here for you. Hopefully, you'll find your way to understand that God is the creator of the universe. Jesus holds everything together, and He's the one that sustains life. And you see the difference? It's now because what happens is, you know, quite often people say, you know, I just really want Bobby to know Jesus. I just really want Bobby to know Jesus, right? Mr. Atomic Bomb Bobby.
Right.
So you have these people that are laboring in this Christian school, right? They're like, oh, man.
Pyrotechnician Bobby, you know.
Yeah, right. And so then, you know, they go, I just want to send them to a Christian school. And so you have these parents who raise their kids in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they're following the Lord, but somebody that it worked. And they're walking and they're serving God. And their vision for business and ministry is just amazing where they're going. And all of a sudden, Bobby drops in there like a atom bomb, full of darkness, full of delusion, misleading the folks and your kids and all this kind of stuff. And next thing you know, why am I battling darkness in a Christian school?
Yeah.
And what the parents' hope was, by the way, that Bobby would get saved.
All right.
The hope was that in this Christian school, and that's, to me, that's an evangelistic school, which is great. I mean, it's great. I mean, you can send strong kids there who walk with the Lord, or this school can make that school their mission. They go in there and they do reading, they do tutoring, they mentor the kids, they share their testimonies, all the wonderful things. But we have one particular school that is intensely concentrated on the fact that Jesus is Lord. This is it.
Wow.
I mean, this is it. There's just it. We don't apologize for it. And whatever happens in the world, happens in the world. But the fact is that these kids, both from both those schools, are going to be loosed in the world, and they're going to bring light and hope and a new way of looking at things into leadership, into business, and all that. So I really see, I'm starting to see, because, you know, how long can you scream at the darkness instead of just saying, no, it's just time to be the light?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the way they want to go, and the history of our nation is like this, by the way. It's just recently, in the recent decades, you know, the federal government taking over schools. It wasn't like that. But it's time for us, and I believe the future leaders of America are going to come from homeschool. They're going to come from schools like we're talking about. And many children, and the Lord showed me many children coming to him. They'll only come to him when somebody actually tells them about him. They're not going to come to him because, you know, they have to hear it first.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just looking at that, and instead of, you know, and then you can put the two together. Then you can say, okay, here's a Christian school who's completely concentrated on Jesus as Lord. And the Bible is not only taught here, it is memorized, hidden in our heart. People abide. They share their abiding experiences. Abiding groups are going on in the school. It's just a powerful thing. It's not perfect. Obviously, issues happening and all that because of our sin nature, but that's the driving force. The Holy Spirit's invited there to be able to speak to the students, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance and all the things that's said in the prayers. And in addition, their project and their ministry is this other school, which is an evangelistic school where, you know, Susan can send Bobby to in hopes that Bobby will find God in the context. And those two schools will outweigh and outperform, I believe, every other school in the nation, you know, along with a serious parent that's homeschooling, not just to play around, but a serious parent that's homeschooling their kid and paying that kind of attention to them. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And so he's saying, listen, that's the reason why people who struggle, they struggle understanding this, is because they don't have faith and to know Jesus Christ, that this is real. That the presence is real. Somebody says, well, that ain't real. It's like, I'm healed, I'm forgiven, I'm blessed, I'm saved. You're sad. Listen, this is going to be the secret. Let me tell you the secret for what's about to happen. Stop being ashamed of Jesus. Stop being ashamed of the power of God. Stop being ashamed to pray in the Holy Spirit when God gives you the utterance. Be God's son and God's daughter. Isn't it interesting? He says, you can talk about anybody you want to. You can say anything you want to. And you can even dog my name out. But if you talk against the Holy Spirit, you may never, ever, ever, ever be forgiven. And how many people attack the Holy Spirit? Ridicule. It's God's Spirit. You're talking about the heart of God. We wouldn't be in the condition that we're in right now if it wasn't for what we're preaching from the podiums or preaching from the microphones. It's the church that sets people free in the power of God. It's us. We're the one that determines destiny. We're the ones that change the DNA of people's hearts that end up beginning to lead a nation in a different direction. It's Christ and us. It's the hope of glory. And so then it's the power of God. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. I'm sending you the second counselor. I'm the first counselor. And I'm sending him so that you're going to have power not just to do whatever, just to be my witness. So I witnessed of me, the Father witnessed of me, you see me, now you be the witness of me, and you go tell somebody about me. You can't talk about somebody you don't even know. You can't talk about somebody you don't even believe in. You got to believe. This is not a fiction. This is real. God created everything that you see in heaven and earth, and he filled every bit of it, and he's the one that holds us together. He designed the very seasons and times that we would live only for one thing, to see if you would reach out and touch him. He's not far from you, but you won't even acknowledge him. Now is your day. I'm sorry for what the church has done, but you're still going to answer alone. By yourself, you can't blame anybody.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream at vfndreamcenter.org. That's vfndreamcenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm trying to check out the source right here so I can tell you the bit. Reporting from the freebeacon.com is reporting from Homeland Security, one of the members of the Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security Advisory Council, Mohammed Elibiary, E-L-I-B-I-A-R-Y. He's looking at what's taking place, and we talked about this in a previous program. We're going to continue talking about it hopefully today, if not tomorrow, that what's really going on in Iraq, the land of the Bible, what's really going on over there. But this is the Council on Homeland Security. This is what the reporting that he tweeted out yesterday. He's saying that it's inevitable that a Muslim caliphate is inevitable. That's what they're going. That's what they're aiming for. And he says it is inevitable. It's going to happen. He says, as I've said before, which is I guess the Muslim Brotherhood war thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Inevitable. The caliphate returns. And what is a caliphate? A caliphate is the, and we have this available for you on the VFN Torch, it's where the Quran is the rule, it's the law, mm-hmm. versus the Constitution. And so it determines how, it's a government, it's a political movement is what it really is. It's a governmental political movement versus with the kingdom of God, it's about the kingdom of God being in your heart. God dwells inside of you. No, you're not the temple of God. Well, they actually want to take over the land. And you're seeing, we talked about that. People want to take over the land. Then he goes on, even says specifically here, this is American's Department of Homeland Security Council. And he says, they report that he says, an Islamic country with an Islamic constitution, talking about how America is. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants. America. He feels that's this direction and hope he wants to. That's like. And we're removing, according to Michelle Bachman, we'll make this article available to you. They talk about, you know, that these guys are getting funding. And it's like, yeah, if you were a religion, if you were a faith, right. You know, but you're a political movement. A caliphate is where that's why you're seeing right now with this IS, which basically stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Al-Sham? I thought it was Syria. Somebody else said it was Syria.
Syria.
That they're cutting people's hands off who's still. They're putting women out of sight, putting them up in their houses. You know, they're rushing. As a matter of fact, they were actually rushing to have a wedding as they were being invaded. They were having a wedding. Mm. It's like, ma'am, they're just going to marry you and stick you in some house somewhere. Well, don't marry, marry right now. What are you doing? I mean, this is a caliphate coming down. Exactly. Don't get married, ma'am. Oh, my goodness. It's like, oh, my goodness. That didn't even, you know. Anyway, so wait. And I'm thinking, this is our homeland security. And so the question you want to ask, you know, what is really going on spiritually? You know, what is taking place spiritually? And I want you to see this video I want you to see this, that what we're talking about, this is Tom Dole talking about a book that he wrote called Dreams and Visions, is Jesus awakening the Muslim world. And he's given us a biblical perspective of, in this interview from CBN, about, you know, what's really taken place in the context of this. And you're going to hear, this is what it's done for me, and I hope it does it for you, to show us how we can be involved in praying and connecting and not believing, you know, the press in the context of what's going on, but saying, you know what, there's Christians here. There's Christians being crucified and beheaded here, the persecuted church, and that we need to pray for them. But simultaneously, you're going to hear about some miracles taking place. As a matter of fact, you know, what spiritually is taking place? We know what's happening naturally. Evil things are happening, which is dark spiritual things. But what's happening in context of the church? You know, what is God doing? As a matter of fact, listen up.
Tom, how can people in the West pray for the believers right now, especially in Iraq?
Well, you know, right now in Mosul, and this is in the ancient area of Nineveh, we know of maybe 1,000 Christians there, could be more, could be less, but definitely in harm's way. We know some of the underground churches where there are Muslim background believers that have come to faith in Christ are definitely going underground. But there's a strategy there that this group ISIS, that was a split off from Al-Qaeda, much too extreme for Al-Qaeda, if you can imagine, that is doing very much like Hamas did in Gaza, trying to win the favor of the people. So what we're even hearing today, Chris, is that some of the ISIS terrorists are escorting Christians places. They've even taken some nuns on errands to try to show people we're here for good reason, we're humanitarian. The problem is this could be their shields in the future. When the attack happens, and definitely it's most going to be Sunni-Shia conflict, I think this is really the launching pad for it. It's not ultimately what they want. The battle's going to be for Baghdad.
Yeah. What are you hearing from the Christians right now in Iraq?
Well, you know, there's been some miraculous escapes. We just heard of one believer today that came out of Islam that is following Jesus, that his family took and pronounced that they were killing him. And actually, God put some compassion in their heart. They opened the back door and let him go free. He's safely now in another city, so we praise the Lord for that. We're hearing enormous pressure, and believers are saying they feel that they're just minutes away from conflict. They hear it outside. They know it's not going to take long until it turns on them as Christians.
How bad is this group ISIS, and what have they been doing in Syria?
I mean, some of the things that they've done in Syria are so inhumane. The only way we can describe it is that it just comes from the pit of hell. And we're seeing the Christians being nailed to the crosses, decapitated. They pronounced the week of Easter, we will wash the streets in Christian blood. And there was some massive killings. Seven new believers were beheaded together. They stood strong for Christ. They did not back down from their faith. And they were killed just a couple of days before Easter.
Yes. And what is their goal? What do they want to do?
Well, ultimately, they want a caliphate is what they want. They want that Sunni triangle locked down so that can be the base of their operations. And they want to go after Baghdad. And then, of course, in Syria, they want to oust Bashar Assad and get rid of him. And when you think about Iraq and Syria, if that were to happen, that they would come together under these groups, these Sunni terrorist groups, there's no question that it would be a massive regional war because they won't want to stop there. We know that ultimately they have their sights on Jerusalem.
Why Jerusalem?
Oh boy, the ultimate conquest, the Jews' holy city, for them to be able to say it's ours, to get rid of them, would be the ultimate validation statement for the religion of Islam.
And as ISIS heads toward Baghdad, as you mentioned, it's setting up a potential huge conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, and when you think about it, really, it's in a sense, it's a proxy war because it is all of Shia Islam against Sunni Islam. It's just not these two groups in Iraq. Right. It really is virtually, Chris, a regional war, as we know, who Saudi is backing and who Iran is backing. So it's just kind of a half step away from a global conflict between Shia and Sunni Islam. It's just localized in one country. Mm. But it looks like it could spread pretty easily.
Yeah, you're writing a book now that seems very timely. What's the book?
It's called Killing Christians, Living the Faith Where It's Not Safe to Believe. And so we're writing about the overcomers, people in the midst of the persecution. Some of them are alive today, some of them lost their lives, but how they lived for Christ passionately day after day are things that we can learn. So it's 10 stories. We get a chance to just kind of sit at their feet for a little bit and learn from them. One man said this when he was in Evan prison, it was his seminary experience. It was just him and Jesus in that cell. He said, I wouldn't trade those days for anything. So is Jesus enough during those times? Absolutely.
Yeah, what can we learn from them?
Boy, we can learn that our whole focus has to be on where we are on God's time clock right now. We believe the days are getting short and Satan knows his days are numbered. That's why this persecution is ratcheted up. So it's time for us to put away our schedules, our plans, be wholly devoted to what the Lord wants to do through our lives each day.
Right. Anything you'd like to add, Tom?
You know, I would just say to the believers that watch CBN 700 Club and are so passionate about praying, just anytime you see something on television, if you would, remember that it's not just Mosul, it's just not ancient Nineveh. You have brothers and sisters there in Christ that are living in some of the most dangerous conditions in the world. Pray for them. So use that little ticker tape that goes across Syria, Iraq, as a prayer prompter to remind yourself to pray for them. And then also, if they want daily updates, we have our 838 Facebook page that daily we're getting requests from believers on the front line saying, could we call the troops to pray about this?
Amen.
Amazing. Great. This is I appreciate the work that he's doing there, but it's given us a perspective of this church is being persecuted. Christians are being nailed to the crosses, he says. They're being beheaded. The words that they just said at this Easter is maybe you were having your sunrise service in the blessed America on the beach in the stadium somewhere out in the sun. At that moment, they were declaring that the streets would be washed with Christians' blood. Mm. And it's like, you know, America's not even mentioned in prophecy.
Mm-mm.
But you are. If you're a Christian, you're mentioned. There's something for us to do. We have a role to play. We have to stand up. We have to do something about this. When you think about the connectivity, we've talked about this over a period of time, but you think about it, of when the Arab Spring came, the Muslim Brotherhood rose to power.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Green Party wrote the President of the United States and with a letter saying, will you come help us in Iran, the President did not even respond to it, didn't acknowledge the letter was there until it was too late, until the uprising, just like the other places, died down. And now, according to reports of CBN and other sources, that Iran is the one that's pushing now, coming into Iraq, they say their southern border, Iran's now saying their southern border is the southern border of Lebanon, which means that's the northern border of Israel, by the way.
Right.
And when you hear Sunni and Shiite, when you hear Sunni, you're talking about Iran wanting to come in and push their way in through Iraq. So if it's a Sunni Shiite battle, it's like, you know, what is Iraq in the context of all that? It is the in-between of them wanting to caliphate. What is a caliphate? It's all these countries tied together as one country, one Muslim caliphate, which means the Quran is over it. It's the law over it. Which our own member of the Council of Homeland Security, as we said earlier, he's saying it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it's inevitable. Mm. You're our Homeland Security.
That's right.
You're our Homeland Security. But now, I mean, you think about it. If, in fact, maybe we would have supported the uprising that took place in Iran and responded, this might not even be happening. Mm-hmm. But the curious, I mean, think about this. So that didn't happen. So our leadership said nothing when they were calling out. Secondly, our leadership said Assad must come down. The leader of Syria must come down.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bomb it. We're going to take it. It's like, isn't that what Iran wants? Don't they want him down? Is this a Sunni? Are we on the Sunni side of the situation? It's like, oh my goodness. When you look at it and it's like, are we partnering with Magog? Are we involved? Is this like the 7-year thing? I mean, are we really? I mean, think about that. The Green Party in Iran, it was rising up just like every other places were. But the problem was the Muslim Brotherhood was the ultimate, you know, outcome. That's what became in power. But what is the issue with Assad, with Syria? Well, the same issue with Egypt. The Mubarak that was there before Morsi, it was illegal to have the Muslim Brotherhood there. And when you look at Assad doesn't tolerate the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria. As a matter of fact, I think he was just evilly ruthless. But they're evilly, I don't know. But they just, he or his father didn't tolerate them. And it's like, we have them on our homeland security. And we, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, are allowing them to, what are we doing? I mean, think about this.
Right.
So, yes, you know, when you hear people go, we shouldn't do anything in the Middle East, just let that happen. It's like, did we even cause it to happen? Were we the ones with the Cairo speech that began to have the first domino that went down, and all of a sudden we just said, you know, painting a picture for the Muslim Brotherhood and that they could rise to power and this could happen and that could happen? And is the absence of the president of Syria, does that mean the presence of Muslim Brotherhood in Syria? I mean, think about these, which, by the way, ultimate outcome is caliphate. That's what a caliphate, in other words, we can control this thing. We can finally get the Middle East under control if we'll just put them under a caliphate, because we can cut their arms off if they steal. Mm. We can kill them in the streets if they do this. Mm-hmm. We can stone them. We can do, you know, put Christians under servitude. We can crucify Christians. We can crucify Jews. We can behead them through evil force in the name of Muhammad. Mm. And following the Quran. I mean, these guys are so bad, and I know we got to go to break, but these guys are so bad coming into Iraq that even Al-Qaeda wrote a note and said, this is not us. That's how bad they are.
Wow.
They wrote a post. They wrote a, just letting you know, this is not us. And the question is, did we have something to do with that? Did our leadership support that? All I know is, the reports are, the Green Party asked us for help in Iran, and we lay silent while they were raped and beat in the streets back into subjection, where the Ayatollah maintained the power. And now you're looking at, this is a Sunni thing coming right out of the hole. It's like, what have we done? Back after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
In a time of great peril, the light of liberty grows dim with every passing day. Listener, your nation needs you this summer in Washington, D.C. My name is Rodney Howard Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, to be held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. You, your church, your youth group, we're calling all the believers to come and be a part to help take JC to D.C. Your nation is counting on you. July the 1st through the 19th will be nightly meetings held at the DAR at 7 p.m. and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Admission, of course, is free. Come and celebrate America's heritage, the 238th birthday, the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, who acknowledged firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. If not now, when? If not you, who? Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. That is CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
Hi, I'm Greg Lancaster. I'm looking at a freshly shaved Pat over here.
Very fresh.
How are you doing today?
Lighter.
My day's tomorrow. They are getting new string for the weed eater. And
dude, I was so desperate. I actually let somebody else do it because my lady wasn't there.
That's desperate.
I was desperate.
Did you let Tracy cut it?
No. Older lady. I don't think she could see real good.
Oh, bless her.
I got like a hole here, hole here.
No, it's called humility.
And I got
What's
a scar.
God saying?
And a scar.
I'm just saying. What's that's happening? Right. Yeah, right. I think we have scars in all the same places.
Same exact places. On my shin, on my head.
Everything you said about me, right?
Oh, Lord, I repent. I repent.
I'm smart. You know, I'm intelligent.
That's right.
Come on, say some stuff. Say some positive stuff.
There you go.
That's
come
I
on.
Know, right?
You can't even think.
I'm smart and intelligent.
And beautiful.
The audience is shouting. He's beautiful too. He's beautiful. He's beautiful too. Yes.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. CBN News is reporting the White House has pushed the cops or the local law enforcement to and urging them to not give the details of surveillance now that can be done through technology and accessing your cell phone data as they from an entire neighborhood, by the way, John. Entire neighborhood, according to the Associated Press. The AP reports revealed that the Obama administration has intervened in routine state public record cases and criminal trials to avoid disclosing the use of such technology. In other words, the feds are interfering with the local government, which is that's not unusual because you have public. It's your government. That's why you have a public record request and you can get it. But they're actually intervening, saying don't let them know this, according to the AP out there. And he says the interface has. This particular interference, has forced local police departments, according to the AP, to withhold public requests for materials and heavily censored them. That's a violation of your constitutional rights. We just need like a recording for that because it's just, you have a right to go down to your local sheriff's department, your public defender, your state's attorney, your governor, your... And you can request a copy of something. It's public records. You may have to pay for the copy. But AP is reporting right now that for the first time or unusually that the Obama administration has intervened in routine state public records requests.
Wow.
And it's causing them, forcing local police departments to withhold the information that you need to know. What was the information? What they're saying here is that they drove through your neighborhood and gathered, according to this, gathered all your cell phone information and made their case. And made their case.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. This is your country. This is not the 530 folks in Washington, D.C. This is not your governor's country. This is not your state legislator's company. It's not your school board and county commissioners.
Right.
This is your country, and you actually elect them to go there and to do what they do, but... You got to say something. And if you talk to any representatives and they go, well, that's not me. And it's like, well, then I better see you on the TV, on CNN, shouting into the high hilltops because you represent
us. Say something
here. Yeah, say something. Don't just sit here and say, well, you know, my district. You're there amongst the masses of the nation to represent our viewpoints in the nation. If it's a constitutional violation, and come up with different ways to say it because it's almost like it just doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore.
No.
But without the Constitution, understand this, without the Constitution, this is what they can do. They can violate the Fourth Amendment rights with searching all your information, your data. They can go and tell you can't, you know, say what you mean or say, you know, speak out, public speaking, or to worship God freely. You end up in a cave somewhere like in China and different places to be able to worship God.
You notice this is all code speech because, you know, that's disguised. The First Amendment's attack, which is a freedom of speech by... Now, if you say something that doesn't agree with someone, it becomes a hate speech. It's like, wait a minute. All speech, whether it was hate or not, is protected by the First Amendment. But you notice that there's a plan. It's a strategy.
As long as you're against the country, you can say stuff.
There you go.
But hate speech is like, I'm for America.
Right.
And I was reading the Constitution.
Hate speech.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was hate. I won't look at the Constitution again. Well, I'm just going to read the Bible.
No, they're not going to like that either.
Oh, I can't even read the Bible. No. How is love himself hate? I mean, think
isn't
about
that something?
How is love himself hate? Oh my goodness. It's almost like what is wrong is being called right,
that's
and what
right.
is right is being called
that's
wrong.
Right.
Hey, that's a sign of the end days, isn't it?
Sure.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, we're coming to the end of this particular program, so I want to be able to encourage you. I want to encourage you after hearing and seeing what's going on. First of all, to be concerned about what's happening in the world. I mean, you can get compassion fatigue by thinking God's expecting you to carry this load. He's not expecting you to carry this load, but he's expecting you to come to him and talk to him about it. I mean, if you spent your whole day thinking about you and your stuff and your things, and you never did bother to think about the persecuted church, I mean, understand, yes, you may not be able to swallow the whole thing. It's big. But you can say, God, I want to pray for the church in the Middle East. I want to pray for the church and the loved ones who lost their loved ones being crucified on a cross and being beheaded. And dear God, you know, I want to pray for the salvation of the Muslim people. This Islamic religion is betraying these ones that are committed to it because now they're killing each other and devouring each other. When you came and you laid down your life for us, these other religions say you must lay down your life for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No, God gave his son for us. He died for us. He took our beatings. He took our whippings. He took our bruisings. And he laid down his life so that we wouldn't have to. This is the good news. Understand, you can be saved today. And now it's becoming more clear than ever before as the world stirs in great darkness. That the light has come into the world. But I want to ask you this question. Have you comprehended it yet? Did you understand that Jesus has come to you today asking you to say, do you want to make me the Lord of your life? I will forgive you. I will cleanse you. I will restore you. I'll put you in right standing. I will take your place on the cross. If you want to do that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org, where we share a couple of our stories. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
We've been talking for some time, and it's not like entertainment, although, you know, we have moments that seem kind of entertaining a little bit. We try to kind of make it as light as we can, while it's actually the light of the gospel, because, you know, he tells us to rejoice always and pray continually, for this is God's will for us, so we can, you know, not be dreading what's taking place. But you can listen to the prophetic words. We have them available for you. You can get caught up on God. You can get discipled. You can go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to The Torch. You can subscribe to the newsletter. You can download the podcast. You can download the app. You can carry us with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And what God said specifically in this whole journey, because this is a network that God is building through your prayers and your love gifts. I mean, our sponsors and our partners and all the prayers that have gone up has birthed what you're seeing, you know, a network now that's reaching around the world, television and radio. And it's because God said, I have some things I wanted to say. And this is happening all over the land. It's obviously not just us, but he's raising up voices. It just let us know. He says, listen, he says, you know, he commands us to go be the light of the world. We don't have an option. It just seems kind of new because very few people are doing it, but we all should be doing this. And if you're thinking, I just don't know how I can do it. You can do it by becoming a partner. You can do it by joining our sponsors who stand up and hang on the shingle of their business. I stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. And by standing with us, that's exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. There's so many different areas.